Well, good morning. It is wonderful to see everyone here. Happy Independence Day, or I guess it is July 3rd, Independence Day weekend. We want to invite everyone to worship with us, but as we get started, just a quick thing to remind everybody, we're going to have communion at the end of the service, and so we've got three different locations where you can pick up one of those communion portions. If you would go ahead and do that while we're worshiping or during the announcements, because what we don't want is during the teaching for there to be a lot of commotion. So this would be a great time to be able to pick up one of those. Also, parents of kids, we understand that kids' ministries aren't happening today, but we do have speakers pointed over into the park. So if the kids need to be able to run around and you want to go over there, that is perfectly fine. You'll be able to hear. We've thought ahead. Or you can stay right where you are. That's fine too. But we do have that available. And if you need the restroom or need to get into the building, we're just going to ask if you use one of these doors over here to my left or your right, because behind me we got a lot of gear and wires and there's actually some benches in front of the doors. It's not even very accessible right now. But these doors will bring you to a restroom pretty quickly. And with that, I would invite you to stand or to sit or to do whatever you want, but to worship with us here today.
You're the defender of the weak. What are you turned, Lord?
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Not like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
We give you all the praise this morning. Splendor of the King. Let's sing that together this morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light.
Darkness tries
to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice.
How great is
he? How great is our God? Sing with me. Lord, how great are you this morning, Lord? Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we come before you recognizing how great you truly are, Lord. That there's nothing else in this life, Lord, that stands above you, Lord. No matter what we go through, Lord, no matter what we face, Lord, you are greater. You are stronger, Lord. And it's only your name, Lord, that deserves all praise. This morning, we come to worship you, Lord. We thank you, praise you for this beautiful weather, Lord, that you've given us. In your name I pray, Lord. As morning dawns, and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name.
Your name,
is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Jesus in your name.
Jesus in your name.
Thank you. You may be seated. What a wonderful time of praise and worship. Just have a couple of things that we want to ask you to be in prayer for specifically this weekend as we celebrate our independence, and that is all of our armed forces here domestically throughout the world, especially those that are stationed over in Europe right now or those stationed in Southeast Asia, certainly these hot bed areas of political issues going on right now. So we want to pray for them. We want to pray for all the families of those who have been deployed, because that's a hard thing for the ones left behind, the kids, the moms, the dads, the folks who are left as the service member goes. So please do keep them in your prayer. And of course, pray for our area. Pray for all of those here. Pray for the issues that we face here in our own community. We've got inflation issues and medical issues, and everybody's got concerns on their minds and on their hearts. And so we just want to pray for all of those things. If you would bow with me now. Father, we do lift these up to you in prayer. This weekend, we're reminded of our independence, but Lord, it points us to the freedom that we have in Jesus. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for those who have gone before us, who have put on the uniform of our nation to defend the freedom that we have. Because, Lord, without that freedom, we wouldn't be able to stand here as openly and boldly as we are able to. We know there's so many areas in the world where a service like this would be illegal, where the believers would have been rounded up long ago, places where churches meet in secret and in basements. So, Father, we thank you for that freedom that we have, and we pray that that freedom would allow us to live lives of service to you as we come into your presence here this morning, and as we then leave here and go into our lives. I pray that the independence we have here in this country would open doors for us to share in ways that maybe many people throughout the world can't do. Father, we thank you for all of those who are serving and have served. And we also lift up the concerns of our community. There's so many issues right now, nationally, locally, on a state level, internationally. Political issues, there's family issues, there's financial things and health things. So Lord, we just ask that you would be over in all of this. We pray that you be with us this morning as we give this time to you, as we rejoice in the freedom that we have in Jesus. As we come here in his name, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I do want to welcome everyone here this morning. Just a couple of quick things I want to remind everybody about as we continue our service. First of all, as I mentioned before, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper after the message. So if you haven't already picked up one of the communion portions, they're available at the Agape boxes, which are also out here for anything you would like to give, any tithe, any offering, anything like that. We'd also have food following the service. It'll be over here. When we line up, we're going to ask everybody lines up that direction so that we don't back up into all the band stuff, but we're going to line up for the food. It's there. It's going to be hot dogs and drinks and all kinds of great stuff. There is a box toward the end of the table here, and on it, it says the New York mission trip. Now, that box is not in any way tied to the food. Please take the food, but if you feel so led to supporting our mission trip this year to go to New York, that box is going to be there for anything you would like to give. I know a lot of us can't go, but we'd like to support someone who can go in our stead. And so what happens is anything that's raised for this helps lower the cost of the individual missionary who's going so that it's a little easier on them. Because after all, they're taking time off work, time away from their family to go into the field and to serve the Lord in New York. And so we want to support them in doing that. So please pray for them. And I thank you for everyone who has been. But if you would like to financially give to that specific trip, that's what that box is here on the table. So it's not connected to the food, even though it's on the food table. It is there for our missionaries. So please keep that in mind and pray for them. Also, at the end of this month, we're going to be having another option to be baptized. So if you would like to be baptized, you never have been, or maybe it was a long time ago, or you were baptized and then some things happened in your life and you're coming back to the Lord in a newly rekindled relationship with God, you want to be baptized there. Those are all great reasons. We're going to have a baptism the last Sunday of the month, weather permitting, of course. If you would like to do that, you can sign up in the foyer next week, or you can go online. You can sign up there. You can email one of the pastors, but we would be happy to baptize you at the end of July. One last thing, and that is our book of the month for July. It's not here today just because we're outside. It'll be available next week, but it's called Changes That Heal. It's all about mental health, and we're having a mental health crisis right now in this nation, and this book is all about that. So if you know of anybody or you yourself are going through some things and you're maybe feeling depressed or it's a low season of life and you're looking for a resource that might help pick you up out of that, this is going to be a great book. It's by Dr. Henry Cloud, who's one of the best-known Christian counselors in the world. He has a radio program. A number of his resources are actually available in Chronicles. But specifically this month, we're highlighting Changes That Heal. And so I think it's going to sell. I think it's going to be a popular one, but it is available starting next week. Well, with all that being said, I'm going to read this morning out of the book of Galatians. Just one particular verse. It's Galatians 5, verse 13. If you have your Bible and want to follow along with me, if not, it's just one verse and I'll read it. But it is Independence Day weekend, and that's what we're here to celebrate and to remember, that 246 years ago tomorrow, 56 men sat in a hot, non-air-conditioned room in Philadelphia. Their purpose there was to sign a document that would change the landscape of the world forever. It was a document that told the entire planet that we, the people of the United States of America, would be henceforth and forever free. That Declaration of Independence, they declared boldly that you have certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. here in this nation, you have the right to life. And before we keep going, can we just give a round of applause to the Lord for the Supreme Court decision that affirmed states can defend life here in America, something that has been a crusade for decades. We saw that happen when Roe v. Wade was overturned just a couple weeks ago. But you have that right here in this nation, the right to life. And in that life, you have the right to freedom, to liberty, it says. And you can use that liberty to pursue happiness. For some people, that happiness means becoming something they've always wanted to be. It could be an artist or a musician or a famous songwriter or some other kind of author. For some people, pursuing happiness means having families and children and having that kind of a lifestyle. For others, pursuing happiness could be traveling the world or pursuing a passion in a career, or maybe even inventing something or working hard with your hands to make something tangible that benefits society. But whatever it is, you have the right in this nation to pursue and to try and find that. That's your constitutional freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But this morning, I want to talk about another freedom, a higher freedom that each one of us enjoys, a spiritual freedom. When Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago and he declared, "It was finished," he declared your spiritual independence. And from that point forward, we would be henceforth and forever free. In the Gospel of John, it says, "If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You're free from sin and shame and guilt and death and worry." When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you became free. The question for us is, what do we do with that spiritual freedom? Your political freedom, it gives you the right to pursue happiness, and lots of people do just that. When you come into Pennsylvania, there's usually a big sign, at least the way that we come back into the state when we go and visit family, and it's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Pennsylvania, pursue your happiness." That's the motto of the state. That's what they want everyone coming in here to understand. And so a lot of people will pursue their happiness. They'll go after success and fame and fortune and money and notoriety and influence and reputation. But what about spiritual freedom? What do we pursue as a spiritually free person? Well, that's what our text is all about. And here the Apostle Paul gives us a sort of encouragement as far as how we can use that freedom that we have in Jesus. And so he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I want to break that down into three sections this morning. First of all, the description we have of freedom. It's a personal freedom. It's given to you personally by the Lord. Second, we have the limitation to freedom. It is yours. It's given to you, but it should be used responsibly. And third, we have the intention of your freedom, and that is to be surrendered by you sacrificially. But the first thing we have is the description of the freedom we have in Jesus. It's given to you personally. It says here, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." When you read through the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution, it's pretty clear that it's talking about everyone here in our nation. That's why it says things like, "We the people." It says all men are created equal. Or even in the 14th Amendment that talks all about citizenship. It says all persons born or naturalized in America are citizens of these United States. And so the freedom that we have as Americans is one that everyone can enjoy. It's a general kind of freedom. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are, it applies to you. It doesn't matter if you chose to be born here, it applies to you. It doesn't matter who your parents were or the way you've lived your life. If you're a citizen of this nation, that freedom applies to you. On the other hand, we have our spiritual freedom, the liberty that we have through Jesus Christ. It's personal. It's not general. It's individual. It's available to all, but it's given to you on a personal level. Notice in verse 13, for you were called to freedom. That means that God personally called you. He personally freed you. That means Jesus personally died for you, and he called you personally. You were called to freedom. The Bible wants you to know that Jesus wants a relationship with you personally. In the book of Revelation, it even tells us that your name was written in the Lamb's book of life personally. And here's what that means for you and for me this morning. In a world that's designed for the masses, in a world that addresses we the people, in a world that talks about everyone, in a world where we're just another number, just another sale, another social security number, another account, another person in line, just another caller on the phone, just another taxpayer, just another citizen, just another driver, Jesus knows and sees you personally. And so it tells us here that he has called you personally. You have a relationship with God that is unique to anyone else here in the world. And that's because it's a relationship that he has given to you and called you. He wants to be a part of your life personally. And so we have a personal kind of freedom. Second, we have a freedom that is to be used in a responsible way. There's a limitation to the freedom. It says only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but it says rather to love and to serve one another. You know, it's interesting what people often do with freedom. They hear that word freedom and they think that it means free from. I'm free from accountability, free from any kind of oversight. I'm free from the consequences of my own decisions in life. They hear freedom and they hear free from. But let me just ask a quick question. How has that gone in our nation, to be free from any of these things? People talk about sexual freedom, and they can do what they want with whom they want, when they want, how they want, and you can't say anything about what they want. And they say, well, that means I can do whatever I want with anyone sexually. But what has that led to? A nation that has just rampant STDs. It's led to a massive problem of abortion. It's led to single-parent households. It's led to all kinds of issues. I was speaking to a pastor friend one time, and he told me that sexual relationships inside of a marriage are a great blessing, but outside of a marriage, they become a burden. Because what if she gets pregnant? What if we catch something? What if the relationship doesn't work out? What if someone hears of what we're doing? What if the parents find out? Or we have the freedom to experiment with any kind of drug or substance we want, the freedom to ingest that into our bodies. But look at what has happened there. In cities where drugs have become more and more legal, unemployment is higher, homelessness is higher, depression is higher. You become free to do whatever you want, but there's a consequence to that. Or what about free financially? People want to spend their money however they want, but look, it leads to a national debt that crushes the average American person. The point here is we have a personal freedom given to you personally by the Lord, but intended to be used responsibly. Not to be done with however we want, but as Paul says here, not as an opportunity for the flesh. Because not only is there a national effect from living and enjoying freedom in an unrestricted way, there's a personal consequence to that as well. I remember when I was a child and I just couldn't wait to get out of my parents' home. I could not wait to make my own money decisions. And I was 16 and 17 and all these credit card offers started showing up in the mail. And I would ask my dad, can I have a credit card? And he would say, no, you're too young for a credit card. You're just going to go and get in debt and end up in trouble. And so he'd tell me no, and we would argue about it. And then one day I turned 18 years old. And when that happened, the credit card offers came in the mail. And I said, you know what? Now I'm free. I'm free to make this decision on my own. And you know what I did? I signed up for the credit card. And within a week, I maxed it out. And I took that very freedom that I had just received and used it as a way to go right back into bondage. In bondage financially. We can be in bondage in all sorts of ways. And if we're not careful about using our freedom responsibly, that's exactly what happens. We end up back in bondage. Think of Israel for just a minute. Going through the Old Testament, they were in Egypt for about 470 years, the Bible says. 470 years, almost half a millennia, living under the thumb of the Egyptian king. And they said they wanted freedom, and they wanted freedom, so they were given their freedom. And the opportunity to go and worship the way they wanted to worship, what was the first thing they did? They built a golden calf, and they went back into the bonds of religion. They finally got across the Red Sea, and they're wandering, and they're in the wilderness. They then, 40 years later, get to the promised land of Cana, and they get in, and they establish themselves. And they say, we need a king. And Samuel comes along and said, you had a king. For 400 years you had a king. Why do you want another king? They said, we need a king. Everyone's got a king. And Samuel said, yeah, but you're going to get a king and he's going to enslave you. He's going to take your money. Your men are going to fight in his army. They're going to die in his war. Are you sure you want a king? And so Israel used that freedom that they had in the Lord from Egypt, coming out of bondage, as an opportunity to go right back into the very thing they had just been freed from. It wasn't used responsibly. They said, we want a king, and Saul became their king, and he was a terrible king for that nation. There's a famous story of George Washington toward the end of the Revolutionary War. He was encamped with his army in Newburgh, New York, and one of the aides came to him and said, General Washington, everybody wants to know if you'll be our king. And he said famously, I did not defeat King George III to become King George I. Because he recognized that freedom used irresponsibly often leads to the very bondage we were fighting to get out of. And the same thing goes in our personal lives. You are free from sin, free from worry and anxiety and shame, free to make your own decisions. And yet very often that freedom can be used in such a way irresponsibly that leads back into the very same slavery we had just been delivered from. Paul said it very well when he wrote, "All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And so here, he says the same thing essentially to the Galatian church. You were called to freedom. It's not a general invitation, it's a personal call. God knows you personally. The Bible says he knew you and called you before the foundations of the world. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the things you don't want other people to know, and he loves you anyway. He knows the things you're embarrassed about, and he loves you anyway. You know that means that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more or less because he knows the complete picture. And he called you personally. In spite of all of that, invited you. Then we have a freedom that is given with a sense of responsibility. It has a limit to it. We have an opportunity to use this independence, but we have a responsibility to limit how we do it so we don't go back into the same trouble we've been brought out of. And third, we have the intention of the faith. We have the purpose for why God has set us free. It says here, but through love, serve one another. You have a freedom that was given to you personally, to be used responsibly in a surrender by you sacrificially. What does that mean? That means our freedom in this nation entitles us to the right to pursue happiness. But the freedom we have in Jesus entitles us to the right to pursue service. And it's interesting because here in the text, when it says to serve one another, in the Greek language, that word serve literally means to surrender freedom. It means to take an independence, a liberty, and to put that on the back burner to become the servant of someone else. That's why we were set free. Not to pursue every lust of the flesh, not to pursue every passion of the eyes, every temptation of the world, but rather to serve one another in love. You know, Jesus said that in the Gospel of John. He said, as I have loved you, love one another. Well, what did he do? Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the King of the universe, the creator of life itself, put an apron around his waist and kneeled down in front of his disciples and washed their feet in service. And that's what he calls us to do. He says, through love, serve one another. Through agape love, through sacrificial, self-giving, selfless love, we take that freedom that we have and we use it to serve each other. The reason for the freedom that we have in Jesus is not to pursue every worldly happiness that exists, but rather to pursue selfless love that comes through Christ. And so he says, you were called to freedom personally. Only do not use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh responsibly, but through love serve one another sacrificially. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. What have you chosen today? And I don't mean have you chosen to be here at church, and I'm not talking about have you chosen to help out and do you volunteer when we're asking for help. A lot of people do. But what have you chosen when it comes to a relationship with the Lord? You know, he called you personally. I was just having this discussion with someone a few minutes before the service. Every one of us is predestined. In the Bible it says he predestined you. He has a plan for your life, God does, that you would come into a relationship with him. That's his goal for every man, woman, and child. That's why in the book of Genesis, it says, let us create man in our image. And so they did. And Adam and Eve had a relationship with God in Eden. And so you have been predestined to a relationship with God. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But you also have a decision to make when it comes to that. Are you willing to receive that plan, that vision, that goal that God has for your life, to be freed from the things that enslave and in bondage you? And so you have a decision to make. Are you willing to come to Jesus? Are you willing to make him Lord of your life? You were called to freedom, but have you answered the call? We're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a moment, and it will remind us of what Jesus did to provide us that freedom. But if there's anybody here this morning who is not living in that, and maybe you've been in church your whole life and you help out every single time, but you can't remember a moment where you intentionally received that call from the Lord and you picked up and you said, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you will. We're reading in 1 Samuel on Wednesday night, and Samuel was called by God, and God said, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am, Lord, your servant listens, so speak. If you can't remember a time when you answered the Lord's call like that, I want to invite you to do that today as we pray. Father, we do come to you this morning, and we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because that is not a freedom that we know can be bought any other way. It's not a freedom that we can get because we were born into the right family. It's not a freedom that our parents can give us. It's not a freedom, Lord, that we can have any way other than by coming to you intentionally. And so, Father, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't understand that, who hasn't received you in that intentional way to say, here I am, Lord, your servant listens, so speak. If there's any here who haven't personally received that call and answered it with that affirmation, that today would be their Independence Day, that July 3rd, 2022 would be the day that they celebrate their spiritual freedom from all of those things in the world that serve to keep us back and to keep us down and to keep us in bondage. Lord, as we look forward to tomorrow, our political independence that we have here in this nation, I pray that it would remind us and point us back to the spiritual independence that we have in Jesus. We were called to freedom personally. And so, Father, I pray that everyone here would personally receive that. Lord, I pray that as we take the communion elements here in just a few minutes, that you would be with us. I pray, Father, that you would bless these elements to our body, that this would not just be a mechanical thing, not just because it's the first Sunday of the month, but rather, Lord, because as we remember the freedoms that we have in Jesus, that we would also remember the cost associated with giving them to us. And so I pray that our hearts would be focused on that as we come to your table. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's writing about communion, and he writes these words. He says, "For what I received from the Lord, I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup.'" I want to give you just a couple of minutes to examine yourself, examine your heart. If there's anything on your heart you need to give to the Lord, if there's forgiveness that you need to ask or even give, to say, you know what, so-and-so wronged me in some way and I've been holding a grudge, but I'm going to give that to the Lord because I recognize that that is not living in freedom. If there's anything that's keeping you captive, whether it's worry over a bill or a doctor's report or a relationship, something that has caused you to be walled in with worry and anxiety for whatever reason it might be, I'm going to give you an opportunity to examine the heart and to give those things to the one who says that his burden is light. Lord, there are so many things that can weigh us down, so many things that we worry about in this life and in this world. There's money, there's health, there's relationships, there's international issues, environmental issues, there's problems at home, there's problems abroad, there's problems at work, there's issues in the community. Lord, we could go on and on and on. But right now, we want to focus on you, Father. And so we ask that you would minister to our hearts, as you know each one of us has need. That we would let go of these things that enslave. That doesn't mean they're not important. That doesn't mean we're not going to address them. That doesn't mean that we're forgetting all about them. But Lord, it does mean that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And we want to live in that spirit. We want to live in the freedom that Jesus gives, not as a servant to the worry of life, but to live in independence. Father, I pray that for everyone here, if there is anything on our hearts that's causing us to focus that direction right now, that you would just block that from our consciousness for the next few moments. We know it's still going to be there. The mail will still be there. The problems at home will still be there. Work is still going to be there. But Lord, here for these next few minutes, I pray that we would be able to focus exclusively on you as we come to your table in freedom and in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your elements, in the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Please take and eat." And as you eat, consider what that means to be broken. You know, to this very day, more than 1 million U.S. soldiers have died and paid the ultimate sacrifice to give us the independence that we have here in this nation, and we're thankful for them. But on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died to bring us spiritual independence, so that we can appreciate the things and the gifts that we have here in this life and in this world. His body was literally broken. Not figuratively, not metaphorically. Jesus died. And in those few moments, as he hung on the cross, what looked like 180 minutes, about 3 hours of Jesus hanging there on that wooden beam, he was suffering an eternity of judgment for every sin, for every shortcoming, for everything that misses the mark. And in 3 hours, his body died, and it was broken for us. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take and drink. If all Jesus did was die, then the story would end. The Apostle Paul even hypothesizes in his letter to the Corinthians, if all Jesus did was die, then we're of all people most pitiable because we believe in a dead person. If all he did was die, then we're still in our sin. If all Jesus did was die, then death hasn't been overcome. Sin hasn't been forgiven. But he didn't just die. 3 days later, he rose again. And in that blood came a new covenant. A covenant that said no longer did we have to be slaves to a law. No longer were we in bondage to all the times where we got it wrong. But now we had a relationship where we could come to him freely and in liberty and in confidence. A new covenant that says, if you believe in him, that you'll have eternal life. And so he says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And Father, we thank you for this time as we take the Lord's Supper, as we take the meal that you prescribed. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us here, this would not just be some mechanical motion. This isn't just something we do because it's that weekend on the calendar, but rather because we come to you with a heart of gratitude, in an attitude of worship, and we give to you all these things, Lord, these things that would take us back into the bonds. Paul says, for freedom you have been set free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Lord, as we take your supper here this morning, we remember those words of Jesus, the words of Paul. Father, I pray that you would guard us against anything that would take us back, that would take away the thing that was so hard fought and hard earned on Mount Calvary all those years ago, a relationship, an independence that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join us as we worship and close our service this morning? Into the darkness you shine.
Yes, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are a God who is greater above all. Lord, we pray that as we continue on in this afternoon in fellowship, Lord, that you would bless this food that we're about to share, Lord, together to our bodies, Lord. We thank you, we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to have the food out here in just a little bit, but we encourage you to fellowship, and you probably could start lining up as soon as the food is ready. God bless. Have a great week.